Praise the Lord. Are you ready to receive the word today? Praise God. Let's receive and let's open up our hearts to receive this morning. Amen. From Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, he said, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I like how the NIV says it. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. His thoughts, his plan, his vision, his dream for your life is unlimited. It's awesome. And it is over and above. This morning, I want to persuade you to receive and live out the great thoughts of God. God's thoughts give you purpose. And God's thoughts give you direction. They can take us somewhere He wants us to go. And they can take us somewhere we want to go. His thoughts paint a glorious picture of your future. It gives you vision. And a vision that He puts in your heart will always produce an idea. How many of you have had a vision from the Lord or a dream, and all of a sudden He started inspiring your ideas? And what happens and follows suits when you get an inspired idea, then the next thing that falls in place is our actions take place. Amen? Amen? Listen, friends, actions combined with faith in God and a no-give-up attitude can turn your dream into a reality. Vision will raise your faith out of stagnation. Vision will stir you. Vision will send you. Vision will keep you on target for the things that He's placed in your heart. One writer says it like this: taking a thought that you believe is God revealed and praying about it and focusing on it and letting it develop into an idea which produces an action which leads to more actions on the path to God's good plan for your life. Now, there is a huge difference between an idle, passing thought and a determined, fixed thought. You know, the other day we were thinking about lobster. And it was kind of an idle thought. If you've ever seen those ads by Red Lobster, they have like Lobster Fest. And they have the all-you-can-eat shrimp. You see that, and it's kind of an idle thought. And then, all of a sudden, hey, honey, I have an idea. You see, an idle thought keeps you on the couch. But a determined thought gets you inspired to move. Let's go to Red Lobster. And we did. And we ordered all, or she ordered all the shrimp you can eat, but not because she wanted to. I said, you need that. Because I was not just a viewer, I was a devourer. Amen. From 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And notice with me in verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Do you love Him? Yes. Are you prepared for the things that God has prepared for you? Yes. Notice verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Read verse 12 with me. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Let's drop down to verse 14. Read verse 14 through 16 with me. Ready? Read. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he knoweth, he is judged himself of no man. Now notice verse 16. I want you to read this and believe it. Ready, read. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Certainly I have the mind of Christ. Now the mind of Christ goes beyond your natural man. And it goes beyond your natural thinking. If you have a big dream, if you have a goal in life, you're going to have to think beyond your natural thinking. And that's what Isaiah chapter 55 tells us. He says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now here's the good news. When Jesus Christ comes into your heart, we gain the ability to start thinking higher. Amen. To thinking new thoughts. To thinking higher thoughts. Because you have the mind of Christ, you can tap into His higher ways and His higher thoughts. Amen? Now here's what happens. Sometimes when you tell people about your dream or you tell people about your vision, sometimes they will think you're crazy. And you know what? I want to tell you this. It's okay. That's what they said about Noah. What in the world is he doing? Don't you know that that's what they said about Joshua and the children of Israel as they were marching around Jericho's walls 7 times? Oh yeah, they thought that about Daniel when he opened up his window to pray before the Lord. They thought he was crazy. And even Jesus, they thought he had a demon. They thought he was Beelzebub. Well listen, if they thought he was crazy and they were crazy, hey, so what people think? Other people's minds are no place for you to find joy and to find peace. Amen. Many people in history have done some phenomenal things, and they were called crazy because other people could not see what they saw. And as a person of vision, and I'm looking at a group of visionaries. Amen. As a person of vision, you cannot afford to look at this seen realm with your natural eyes. We must look at the unseen realm, that which is invisible, with these eyes, the eyes of our heart. Your spiritual eyes. And the Holy Spirit will enable you to see the invisible, to see the internal, to see the invisible, so that you may do the impossible. That's what God did with Abraham. He worked on Abraham. He said, Abraham, I want you to be able to see something so that you are in position to seize something. Right. See, nothing happens on the outside until something happens down here on the inside. And the Holy Spirit will paint a picture of your vision. So God took Abraham outside in Genesis 13, verses 14 to 16. And the Lord said, after Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, north, south, east, and west. Verse 15, for all the land which you see, I will give it, and not only to you, but to your seed forever. Notice verse 16, read it with me. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shalt thy seed also be numbered. So he's developing a vision. He says, lift up your eyes and look. I want to ask you a question this morning. What are you seeing? What do you see when you look into the perfect law of liberty? What do you see when you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith? Do you see healed? Do you set debt free? Do you see your family coming to Jesus? Do you see your church exploding? What do you see when you look up? And that's why, as a pastor, we talk about vision here and then, because we desire with all of our heart for you to expand on the inside and open up down here and let lifetime expansion take place so that you can comprehend, so that you can lay hold all that Christ has lay hold for you. Woo, glory to God. Lift your hands and say it with me. I am a man. I am a person who serves a great God. And I have great vision. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Dr. Cho said it this way. He says, show me your vision and I will show you your future. He'll enable you to see it so that you can seize it. Now, sometimes people are going to come along and they're going to attack your vision. Don't get upset. It's okay. That's all right. No problema. Hey, they just don't see what you see. And not everybody's going to get on the bandwagon with you. Amen. But you need to make sure that what you're hearing is coming from heaven. And it's not coming from what someone else has done. Or from what someone else is doing. You see, God-given vision comes from heaven imparted into your spirit. Amen. Not everyone's going to be crazy about it. Not everyone's going to join you. But don't get upset. You see, I believe this. Sometimes the one you're going to have to convince the most is you. Shall I say it again? And I will. Sometimes the one you're going to have to convince the most is you. So as your pastor, I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you. Refuse to focus on your shortcomings. All of us have shortcomings in the flesh, right? But in the spirit, we are complete in Him. I said in the spirit, we are complete in Him. So it's the devil's game to get you to look at yourself. We need to take our eyes off of ourselves and put it on Him. Oh, that's good preaching. You see, I can't tell you the number of times that my natural mind has tried to talk me out of vision. Over and over again. The devil is a persistent cuss, but he's also a defeated cuss. And we need to learn to distinguish between the enemy's thoughts and God's thoughts and our own thoughts. And we recognize those enemy thoughts, which always belittle, which always points to an inferiority complex. We need to cast those images and those thoughts down, bringing them to captivity. And so our natural mind will try to talk us out of it. You're to this. You're to that. You're not enough. You don't have enough education. You don't know enough people. You don't have enough money. I got to stop right there and just say it. I'm glad that He's more than enough. Come on, somebody. I said, I'm glad that we serve El Shaddai, who's more than enough, who makes up all the difference in our lives. So remind yourself who you are. We just finished a mini-series on true identity. Remind yourself who you are. Don't let the world label you. Don't let the world call you what God hasn't called you. No, you call yourself what God has called you. You called yourself blessed coming in and blessed going out. You call yourself the healed. You call yourself the debt free. You call yourself and see yourself the way He sees you and say what He sees. Amen. And if you will do that long enough, it'll register in your heart. And the devil and this world and unbelieving people will not be able to shake you. Circumstances will not be able to shake you or get you off your plan and take you away from God's dream for your life. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Now, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be resistance. I mean, these things don't fall on us like ripe cherries off of a tree. Is that right? Problems will arise. I like what Jesse Duplantis says. He said this, that vision must be seen through the excess of the clutter. I'm going to say that again. That vision must be seen through the excess of the clutter. Or through the excess of the obstacles. How many of you ever face an obstacle on your highway to your goals being met? Absolutely. Know this, that the conflict that you are facing is designed to steer you off course, to break you down and get you to give up. But folks, we must press through the pressure. We must persevere through the pressure. Perseverance is simply this. It's the act of continuing on a course in spite of opposition and difficulty and adversity. Here's the attitude we need to have. We need to have that same attitude that the Apostle Paul had. None of these things move me. Say that with me. None of these things. What are some of these things? What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these obstacles? What shall we say to these problems that arise? Here's what we can say. We can say what Paul said. Hey, if God be for me, who can be against me? If the Lord is on my side, what difference does it make who's on the other side? Amen? How many of you are going to stay on the Lord's side? Stay on His side because He's on your side. He's for you. He's not against you. And He is an adversary to your adversaries. And He is an enemy to your enemies. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And so we know that visions don't come to pass overnight. Amen. There will be resistance. That's why we have you write the vision. That's why we share the vision. That's why we rehearse the vision. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, for example, it said, "The Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain that he may run that reads it." Verse 2, verse 3, "For the vision yet is for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak." Oh, amen. I said, at the end it will speak. It may not be the end yet, but you hold steady, you hold fast, you persevere, because the vision will speak. In other words, the vision will come to pass. It'll speak and not lie. Now notice this, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So he told us in advance to wait for it. Now, along the way, we're going to experience various tests and trials. I got a text this morning. I get a text every Sunday morning from Pastor Kenneth Hagin, pastor of Rhema Bible Church. And the text this morning specifically spoke to me. And it's a quote by the name of Frank Clark. And he said this, "If you find a path with no obstacles, it probably doesn't lead anywhere." For some of you writing that down, let me just share it again. If you find a path with no obstacles, it probably doesn't lead anywhere. Now, folks, the trying of your faith will either cause you to quit and fold up, or it will employ something that is extremely important. The trying of your faith will employ and it will work patience. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or employs patience. Read verse 4 with me, please. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I love that scripture. Now, I think that the Amplified version of verse 4 makes it even more clear, so let me read it to you. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do what kind of a work? Let it do a thorough work. Why? So that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects. Everyone say those last words. Lacking in nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, you shall know no lack. For the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. So patient endurance, consistency, constancy, steadfastness. You know, we talk to each other and we tell each other, just be patient. But when we say just be patient, we don't mean just sit tight. No, it means persevere. And part of perseverance is constantly staying after it. Steadfastly holding fast to it. The NIV says of verse 4, I like this. It says, let's read it together. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Praise God. Glory to God. Now, here's where most people miss it. Most people get a dream, get a vision, and they don't stay with it long enough, and so they quit. But we are exhorted in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. It says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great, glorious compensation of reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry and enjoy to the full what is promised. Amen. You know, if you're not enjoying life, you're just doing it wrong. If you're not enjoying living by faith, you're just doing it wrong. One of the earmarks of whether you're in faith or not is joy. Amen. It's called the joy of faith. When you're in hope and you have an expectation, two things that you need to monitor very closely. You need to make sure you stay in peace. I said you need to make sure you stay in peace. You do not, don't allow yourself to be disturbed. Don't allow yourself and your heart and your mind to waver in the arena of worry. Amen? Notice this with me. In the Message translation, it says this. I like how he says it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read it how I have in my notes. So don't throw it away all now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out. Staying with God's plan. So you'll be there for a promise completion. Now, if everything happened overnight, we wouldn't need to hold fast. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, you will reap if you will not faint. Raise your hand toward heaven and say, in the name of Jesus, I am not a quitter. I will get there. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you who don't have a vision, my prayer is this, is that you'll go before God and you'll talk to Him about it. Because I'll guarantee you, He's got thoughts concerning your life. And like we opened up the message today, His thoughts are amazing. Folks, don't let your past hold you back in unbelief and in doubt about your future. Somebody says, well, you know, I've gone forward before, and it seems like every time I move forward, I take three steps back. Does that sound familiar? Well, you may have gone forward and gone three steps back, but when you go three steps back, don't quit.
That's right.
Take the time to wait upon the Lord.
Right.
Take the time to talk to Him.
Yes.
You know, sometimes He'll talk to us and He'll cause us and encourage us to make course adjustments. Anybody ever had to make a course adjustment before? I mean, you're out there on the freeway, and you're heading for Modesto, and you end up in Stockton. Well, what you might need is a course adjustment. Or if you get on a jet at SFO, and you're flying to JFK in New York, and you end up in Dallas, Texas, how many of you know the pilot needs to wake up? Get that baby off of autopilot. And I think sometimes in life, we just kind of go on automatic. We just kind of go on cruise. And we don't really pay attention to sometimes those little course adjustments that God shows us and gives us. You see, part of being a man or a woman with a dream and a man or a woman with a vision is you need to be open to Him. Amen? Be open to the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I said, thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. He will tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He'll reveal it to you. He'll disclose it to you. He will show you what you need to be shown. He will give you what you need to know.
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to encourage you today. If you don't have a vision, you can get one. I said, if you don't have a vision, you can get one.
Amen.
And where does this vision come from? It doesn't come from reading a book. It comes from getting into the Word and fellowshipping and communing with the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to move in your life and give you the direction you need.
Amen.
And I think the other thing about vision is we need to understand this, that when we have a dream or a vision, it doesn't have to be something that's woo, so big and so, you know, grandiose. Start where you are. You know, if you have a vision to get a new set of curtains in your home, believe for it. Somebody says, yeah, but I have a vision to have a mansion. Great, awesome, good. Start with the curtains. I said, start with the curtains. There's nothing wrong with it. That's great. And when you get the victory to get the curtains and the curtains show up, believe God for a new door.
Yeah.
Believe God for an alarm system.
Sure.
To keep all the creeps out that you have authority over.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, here's what happens sometimes is we compare ourselves with others that are 20, 30, 40 years down the road. And they're having all these wonderful and glorious things happen. And that should inspire us. Amen?
Amen?
But that doesn't mean just because they've accomplished what they've accomplished and they've done what they need to do that you're anywhere near that yet.
Amen.
So we need to be sober-minded.
Amen.
We need to believe God according to the measure of faith that God has given us.
Amen.
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 I don't know if this is helping anybody or not. But it's sure enough helping me. Glory to God. Start where you are and you will not stay where you are. But please, get a vision. Get a vision. Have a dream. Glory to God. And let your dream explode on the inside of you. Hallelujah. See, one thing I need to be conscious of, I almost said one thing I need to be careful of. You know, the Bible tells us to be careful for nothing. So I'm careful not to use the word careful. Well, I just said it. But one thing I need to be conscious of, when I get around people that are a lot further down the road than I am, when I get around people that are on a much higher level than I am in certain areas, you know, one thing I have to watch out for is not to get condemned. And here's what the Lord showed me very clearly, that comparing can lead to condemnation. And how does that work? Condemnation. Well, look at you. What have you done? Where are you at? You should be further along. Now, I know I'm preaching good right now. No. When we hear of other people's blessings, what we ought to do is get on the dance floor. I said, get on the dance floor. Glory to God. And while you're on the dance floor, say, me too, me too, me too, me too. Come on, everyone, say, me too, me too, me too. If you will, the Lord recently spoke this to me, if you will rejoice authentically at what other people have and what other people are doing, if you will do that consistently, it won't be long before what they have and what they're doing show up on your front yard. Amen. Glory to God. So let's rejoice together today. Let's give God the praise. Let's give God all the glory. Amen. So you're not to be condemned because you don't have a vision. Uh-uh. What I exhort you to do today is get one. Embrace one. Open up your heart to the Father of spirits, and He will impart dreams and visions and goals in your spirit. Lastly, turn to 2 Corinthians 6. I'm doing pretty good. I've been preaching about 33 minutes. We'll be out by 5 o'clock. No, that's a lie. So I'm encouraging you then to take the limits off of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13 in the message says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. Is that God's will? Paul says, we didn't fence you in. The smallness that you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. And then he says, look, I'm speaking plainly as I can and with great love for you. And he says, open your lives and live openly and live expansively. So what this is saying is this. We must refuse to be restricted on the inside. Amen. We must live openly and live expansively. Right. He's provoking them to open up. How many of you know that we can live a small, tiny life, even though the greater one lives in us? So when you feel like you're choked, when you feel like you're restricted, don't back down.
That's right.
Open up. And one of the greatest prayers that I pray for you, prayed for you today, I pray it for myself all the time, is you can pray for yourself. And that is this. Paul prayed this. He came before the Father of heaven and earth, and he prayed this prayer, that you would grant me, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God in the inner man. Now listen to this. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now here's the word, that you may be able to comprehend. Comprehend means this, you may be able to see it, you may be able to take it, that you may be able to comprehend the great love that He has for you, that you could take hold and let it take root in your life, the depth, the height, the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And then he prayed this, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Hallelujah.
Father, today in the name of Jesus, I've done my very best to preach this word to these precious ones. I pray, Lord God, that these words will stay alive in their heart all week long, and that there would be a wonderful, great impartation of good things and glorious things coming into their lives. In the name of Jesus, everyone stand up. Was that okay this morning?
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Amen. And so what I'm going to do in my own life is I'm going to stay stirred up. I'm going to stay stirred up. I can remember many, many years ago, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Brother Copeland was there. And he shared the testimony when the joy move hit that he wasn't feeling it. Have you ever been in a service where there was joy and you just didn't feel it? Ever been in a service where there's a strong anointing? Some of you were like that today. You kind of had some glaze in your eyes, but that's okay. Glory to God. You just weren't feeling it. But Brother Copeland said, I unpurposefully said this to myself over and over again. The Holy Ghost showed him, you need to stir yourself up.
Yeah.
And so Brother Copeland said, yes, yes, I do. And he says, I'm stirred up now. I'm stirred up now. I'm stirred up now. And I think that's what needs to happen in my life on a regular basis. And what happens in all of our life, we need to stir up the gift on the inside of us. Stir up the vision. Stir up the goodness of God living on the inside of us. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up about the vision of the church and about my personal vision. I'm stirred up now. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what happens, man. When you get stirred up, other people get stirred up. Amen? Aren't you glad Brenda didn't walk up here today and say, well, we got a vision. 2023 was a tough year. Oh, but we have a vision for 2024. Now, as you can tell, Brenda lives a stirred up life. Follow that example. Amen. 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 And when you don't feel it, all the more, stir yourself up.